Very often, I don't know, you know, I've been in the ministry for quite a while now, but there was something that used to, in a sense, to bother me. When I think about, you know, there's so many researchers out there, and there's so much, so many statistics about why is it that some people in church, some Christians grow faster than others. You know, a lot of people write books about it, you know, church leaders, we always struggle. Like, we want to find out why is it that some people grow fast and others kind of like they appear to not be growing. You know, even though they might have been in the church for quite some time, but it appears that there's no growth or maturity in them. So that used to keep us awake at night sometimes. Like, why is it that, you know, it happens? You know, people, this person might be growing fast at a fast rate, and this one has been in the church for a long time, and they appear not to be growing. So, like I say, a lot of authors, a lot of writers have written a lot of things about this. We try to find out what is the key. Why is it? Because sometimes maybe they're not getting teaching or something, you know. And you hear a lot of people say, "Well, I'm not getting fed." That's something a lot of people used to say when they leave a church. I left the church because I wasn't getting fed there. And so, you know, we all wrestle with that question because we want to find out what is the key to growing and maturing in Christ. Because, you know, I said, there's a discrepancy between Christians. Some are growing, some are not. Why? And then later on, it dawned on me when I look at the parables of Jesus, Jesus had the answer for these questions and many others. Of course, Jesus has the answer, you know. So, I mean, the question that I want to challenge you with this morning is, would you like to know what keeps people, what keeps you perhaps today from growing in your faith? Why aren't you growing? I mean, think about it, like, Lord, what's wrong with me? I'm not growing. Why not? Well, we got to let Jesus answer those questions for us because he's going to help us a lot. So we know that Jesus was a busy preacher. He went from town to town, according to the text that we read, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. And he would call people to repentance. Repent, the kingdom of God is near. And the text that we read is interesting because I don't know if you noticed, there was a whole bunch of women around Jesus supporting his ministry. And just go back to that text. Before we get to the parable, Luke tells us that he traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 disciples, apostles, were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. So Luke is the one that gives us that detail. So interesting, I mean, you might wonder, how did these women support Jesus? You know, maybe, I mean, they would provide meals and things. He's traveling from town to town, village to village. They're helping, you know, they're keeping that ministry going. And of course, like I said, Jesus was a busy preacher. Everywhere he went, large crowds would gather to hear what he had to say. And then look at verse 4. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming, coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. And you know, a farmer or a sower went out to sow his seed. So one of the things that you need to understand as a Bible student, whenever you hear a parable, the first thing for you to be able to decipher the meaning of the parable, you had to identify the characters. It's like a movie. It's like a play. What are the characters in this play? And then after you have identified them, then you're going to... Each one has a meaning. There's a farmer. There's a seed. And, you know, he said that he went sowing, and there was the 4 different types of soil. There was a path. Angela read that text, but I just want to bring you back over there because that's what we're going to be talking about. Look at verse 5. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he scattered the seed, some fell along the path, and it was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on the rocks, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plant. Still, other seed fell on good soil. He came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he had said this, he called out, "He who has ear, let him hear." So that's very much the parable. You know, you already memorized it. How do I know that? Because, yeah, a farmer went out to sow his seed. He's scattering. As he's scattering, some fell on the path. He was trampled on because that's where people walked in. Or the birds of the sky came and ate it up. Some seed fell on rocks, but it didn't have a lot of moisture. So the rocks, you know, the surface is shallow. The plant grew, but, you know, since it didn't have that much root, it withered. Some seed fell on thorns, but the thorns and the plants were, you know, growing together. So the thorns ended up choking the plant. But then some seed fell on good soil, and it produced a harvest. It produced a crop. So Jesus was an expert in parables. Now, have you ever noticed why Jesus, or do you know why he spoke in parables to the people? This text is going to tell you the reason why he did it. So like I said, first, you identify in the parable the elements. There's a farmer, there's a seed, there are four types of soil: the path, rocky soil, thorny soil, and the good soil. And you see what happened. The path gets trampled on and eaten. The rocky soil, there's no moisture, the plant wither. The thorny soil, the plant get choked up. And the good soil, the plant grew and produced fruit. And then he said, "He who has ear, let him hear." Now, that appears a lot in the Bible, even from the Old Testament. Revelation appears a lot. What Jesus is saying is, when he said, "He who has ear, let him hear," it's like, hey, listen up, people, pay attention. Whoever has an ear, let him hear. You know, so it's almost like, okay, you have ears, but you don't hear. I mean, again, it might come here, it might come through here and get out through the other one. It's like, pay attention, folks. That's what Jesus is saying when that phrase appears. Whoever has ear, let him hear. Now, the disciples, verse 9, came to Jesus because they wanted to know the meaning of that parable. You know, a parable, as we learned in Sunday school many, many years ago, it is an earthly story with a heavenly or spiritual meaning. Any story with a heavenly meaning. We just got to find out what the meaning is. And I love it about parables that Jesus himself will tell you what the meaning is. So this is one of those parables that he just goes on to tell you. So the disciples wanted to know why Jesus spoke in parables. And look at that verse 9 through following. His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." And then verse 11, this is the meaning of the parable. Jesus spoke in parables because he's separating the crowd. He's separating the people. Those who care about kingdom issues from those who did not care about the kingdom of God. He said, "To you, the secrets of the kingdom of God has been revealed to you. But to others, I speak in parables, even though they see, but they're not really understanding. Even though they hear, they're not comprehending. But to you, the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you." So that's why everybody else is in parable. What is Jesus saying by this? Parables are for kingdom people, those who are already part of the kingdom of God. So everybody else listen to the story and say, "Oh, it's just a story about a farmer. Who cares?" But you notice, who's the one really coming to Jesus wanting to know more about the parables? The disciples. You say, "Well, what's the meaning? I mean, you told the story. What does that actually mean?" And Jesus said, you know, and he quotes Isaiah, "Though they see, they may not see. Though they hear, they may not understand." Jesus is saying the crowd that he was preaching to is very much the crowd that the prophet Isaiah preached to. People that they have eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. So what Jesus is proclaiming, the good news, he's dealing with the same crowd that the prophet Isaiah 700 years prior to Jesus dealt with. And so, "But to you, the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you." And they're the ones coming. So Jesus is separating two groups. People that care about kingdom matters from those who don't care about the kingdom of God. So those who really care about the kingdom and those who did not. God's secrets of the kingdom were for his followers, for kingdom people, and not for the whole crowd. And you're going to notice, usually, another thing too. When Jesus was preaching, a lot of people went to see Jesus because they wanted to see a miracle. Not necessarily because they wanted to follow him. A lot of people were following Jesus because they heard that he can multiply bread. Maybe they were after the meal, but not after the teaching. So remember, one time Jesus' teaching became too personal, and a lot of people abandoned Jesus. They stopped following him. And so that's what parables, those who wanted to know more always come. We wanted to know more, but those who don't care, it's like, okay, it's a story. And then now he's going to explain to them, verse 11 through 15, the meaning of that parable. So again, if somebody asks you, why did Jesus speak in parables? Because he separated people in two camps, those who care about God's kingdom and those who don't. And that's still the same today. You know, people who care about, and so those who care will always want to seek more and find more about what Jesus is talking about. Those who don't care, oh, it's just a story. So what? And then he goes, so he explained the parable, and then he goes on and said, the seed is the word of God. So now we know what the seed actually means. Look at verse 11. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are those who hear, and then the devil comes. So the devil in this parable represents what? The birds. Remember, the birds in the path, they come and take away the seed. And the path is hard. So I would just want to call the path hard hearts. You know, it's almost like, you know, like when your heart is hardened, nothing is going to penetrate it. So Jesus said that the path, they hear the word, but it's taken away from their hearts by the devil. They do not get to believe, and so they do not get to be saved. So the word of God does not penetrate their hearts because their hearts are hardened. And you know people like that. It doesn't matter what you tell them. It's almost like nothing penetrates their hearts. And people might ask you for evidence. You show them to them, but they're just so hardened that the word of God is bouncing off. Like, you know, it doesn't get it. It's like, you know what I mean? Like you hit a ball and bounce off. Just like the seed in the path. So the word of God, the seed is the word of God. The path are people that hear, but they do not get to believe. You know, they do not get to believe. And so because they do not believe, they are not saved. So I call this hardened hearts. And then he goes on the following verse. The seed that fell on the rock, verse 13, are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. This is a rocky soil. The soil has rocks. I call this shallow hearts. Now, they hear, they receive it. So they hear, they believe for a while, they receive, I mean, you know, and they're in the church for a while. You know, it says they receive the word with great joy. But then there's a problem because according to Jesus, they don't have deep roots. So it says they're going to believe until the time of testing. And you and I know that testing is coming. There's always going to be testing. So these people, you know, and you know, sometimes you wonder, why do people start following Jesus and all of a sudden you don't see him anywhere? So they might fall into this category of the rocky soil, shallow hearts, because they only believe for a while until there were a problem arose in their house, a situation, and then they stop following Jesus. So these people believe for a while, and then this says until the time of testing, until the time that there's a circumstance that rises up again, you know, in their situation, and they just stop following Jesus. Just that they don't have roots. So there's not a strong foundation in these people. I mean, you wonder, why did they fall away? Because their hearts were shallow. No roots. The word of God did not take roots in their hearts. And like I said, churches, there's a lot of people like that in congregations. And you get to identify it because they might be following for a while, but then later on, the moment there's a difficulty, they abandon ship. And that's what Jesus is talking about. It's like, you know, some of you who are married, you know that there's always going to be issues. You're going to just quit the first time there's an issue? You know, it's like, so when you quit, it's almost you don't have deep roots. So the word of God and the rocky soil did not get to go deep into them. And that's why, you know, the moment there's a storm in their lives, they're out. So Jesus said, and think about this for a moment. He's describing his audience, which is interesting because the same audience that Jesus had, we have. Like, there's still people with hardened hearts. There's still people with shallow hearts. It's almost like, Almost like a superficial response that they give to the gospel. And then he goes on the next verse, the thorny soil, the soil that had thorns in it, or weed. Verse 14, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not get to mature. Okay, we have the path, hard. We have the rocky soil, shallow. And then we have the thorny soil. I call this one overwhelmed hearts. Because when you the plant is growing, but there's other things around the plant overwhelming it. So it's almost like, you know, it's not growing freely because there's so many other things. And Jesus called those things thorns. And he describes what those thorns are. Life's worries. How many of us worry all the time? And in Matthew 5:25, Jesus even said, do not worry about your life, what you're going to eat or drink. Don't you have a heavenly Father that takes care of the birds? Wouldn't he take care of you? Oh, you a little faith? So life worries. You know, it's like Jesus called those things thorns. Because the word of God is planted. It already has grown a little bit, but then there's other things like kind of like overwhelming it, you know, inundating it, like, you know, keeping it from developing to the point that it may produce fruit. Jesus said that this type of people never mature. Look at what he says. As they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Yeah, they believe, they're here, they're there, and they're growing a little bit, but they, you know, not at a fast pace, because there are other things that they allow in their garden, and it's blocking the development and the maturity. The thorns. Life's worries, riches, and pleasure. People pursuing those things. And so when God's word in you is competing with other things, you're going to have a tough time growing. Let me ask you, what are you worried about today? I mean, a lot of people might be worried about this virus that's going on. A lot of people might be worried about the finances, your job, and things like that. I mean, this, and don't get me wrong, I mean, we as people, we tend to worry, but if I trust Jesus, he told me not to. Because he said, trust me, I got you. So he said that when sometimes you got so much worry in you and you're not even listening to your Heavenly Father, or you're pursuing riches and pleasure, you know, and so by pursuing those things, you kind of like the Word of God, you just put it to the side. Usually that's what happens. So these things are choking the productivity of God's word in you. The pursuit of riches, pleasures will hinder the productivity of God's word in you. Now, these Christians, he said, they do not mature. You will never mature in Christ when you let other things. It's almost like the word of God is not freely developing in you because there are other things. Those things are what Jesus called thorns around you, overwhelming the growth of God's word. You see, for you to grow, I mean, any of those soils, if we have a gardener that will come and start cleaning it up, the rocks, you just take them out. The path, you have to just really plow it. And the thorns, the weeds, just weed it out. So a gardener had to come and do that. You know, we cannot do that on our own. We need him, the expert gardener, to come and weed us out, to take those things out of there so that we can grow freely without anything. But, you know, Jesus said that because people, sometimes we worry too much, we're pursuing riches or pleasures, and then the Word of God cannot grow freely in us. And then he talks about the last soil. He called that the good soil. And I want to call it receptive hearts. Because these are the ones who hear, they believe, and they retain what they believe. They persevere in what they heard. Look at what he says in verse 15. But the seed on good soil stands for those who, with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce fruit. They produce a crop. Hear, believe, retain it, eventually produce fruit. In other words, these listeners, these people, they mature in Christ. The word of God is fruitful in their hearts because they didn't have rocks, they didn't have thorns. It was just good soil, good and noble hearts. They retain it. And Churches have those people too. It's almost like every church has some of those people. Like I said, this is the audience to whom Jesus was preaching. And heart, shallow, overwhelmed, receptive. They're people that received the word of God and they persevere in what he told them. Some of those people were the apostles because they were there through thick and thin with Jesus. So the seed is the word of God. And there were four different types of soil. Growth and maturity as Christians comes from God's word. We know that in order for you to grow, you have to let the word of God dwell in you. Paul says to the Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you admonish and teach others. So let that dwell in you. The psalm writer says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. What the psalm writer is saying, the more that I treasure your word, the farther away that I'm going to stay from sin. The more that I get into this, the less I sin. So even he said, and then he said, how can a young man keep his way pure? How can a young person keep their way pure? And then he said, by living according to your word. So the word is the seed. The seed is being planted. And he falls in four different types of hearts or soils. So Christian, we cannot grow apart from the word of God. You know, you can be in a church and they have a great music band and you have a great fellowship. You're always having meals. That's great. That's not going to produce growth in you, by the way. And I will say that again because sometimes people think they join a church because they enjoy the fellowship. They enjoy the youth program they have. But if you're not getting into the word of God, you will not grow. Because this is what's going to produce the growing me, not the fellowship. You know, somebody said, a father was interviewed one time, and they asked him, you know, they said, what is it that kids, when they leave church, when they go to college, they abandon Jesus. They forget, you know, they go to college, and they're challenged over there, and they don't follow Jesus anymore. And then, you know, this is what this father said. The problem that I had as a father was that I introduced my kid to church and never to Jesus. Sometimes you're introducing people to activity. Hear me out, please. I'm not saying activities are not good. They are good. But if you're not giving people the word of God, it might become a shallow heart. They're never going to grow because the only thing that's going to produce growth in you and me is this thing, the word of God. That's the seed that's being planted. And you see why some people don't grow? Because as it's planted, falls in different types of hearts. Hard hearts, shallow hearts, overwhelmed hearts, but occasionally it will fall in good hearts, and those good hearts will produce a crop. They will mature in their faith. Discipleship, growth without the word of God will never happen. And it's even in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, when Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And here it comes, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Discipleship without teaching is just fellowship. Fellowship, just having a cup of coffee, enjoy. I mean, that's awesome. Partnership, quality. You know, we love that. But we're not going to grow into Christ. Like, we might grow each other. We might get to know each other better. You know, if we start fellowshipping for real, that we share our thoughts and ideas, we become vulnerable with one another. And truly, we have that fellowship like in the first century, that people share everything they had. I mean, that's beautiful, but that's still not going to bring you growth. The music is rocks. Everything is cool, but that's still not going to produce growth in you. What will? This, the Word of God. As you study it, as you analyze it, as you, you know, continue in the word, then growth will, because this is the seed that's being planted. You notice that the seed did not change? The same seed. What changed? The soil. Thank you, Thomas. The soil. You know, we're getting that story. The soil, because the soil might be hard. You know, the word of God is not going to get in. The soil has rocks. Oh, you know, it's going to wither. The soil has thorns. And the soil is good now. So it's almost like, you know, when we always talk about prepare your hearts for worship, you know, prepare this, you know, examine your hearts as you enter the presence of God. Because, you know, sometimes our hearts are not ready even to worship. We come to church and we did not even come ready to worship. Isn't that sad? I mean, why would you come to church? I know maybe you came to listen to me, but no, just came to worship. You know, we want to come ready to enter the presence of God that I get satisfied by just being in your presence. That's the reason we should have church. That's the reason we gather. So prepare your hearts. Examine your hearts. What kind of soil are you today? Because I guarantee you, you have friends. When you talk to them about God, they're going to fall into one of those four categories. And I have a friend that I can tell you, like, he used to be hard, but now he's just shallow. You know, he just like, okay, dude, you have some rocks in you. And, you know, nothing that I'm telling you, you know, it's going to penetrate because you still have other things that you don't want to go deeper. So, like I said, the seed did not change. What changed was the different types of responses that people have to the proclamation of the gospel. God's word does not produce fruit in us. When you wonder, what is it that I'm not growing? Then I tell you why you're not growing. Because you have a heart problem. When we don't grow, it's because there's a heart issue in us. Either it's hard, shallow, overwhelmed. Growth only happens when the heart is ready to receive that. Just like the apostles say, Lord, tell us the meaning of the parable. We want to know more. And they were ready, and then they produced growth in them. There are those whose heart, again, just reviewing, are hardened. They listen to the word of God, preach. You know, they probably go to church for so long, they've been listening to that for a long time, but nothing is going to penetrate it because they're still hardened. And what causes people to harden their hearts? Maybe something that they blame God for, or something, you know, it's like, well, I can't believe God did this. And it's like, their hearts is just like nothing that you tell them. You know, sometimes it's like, I'm praying for you, because it's like, they're so angry at God, and they harden their hearts, just like Pharaoh in Egypt. Nothing is going to make them change their minds. There are others that hear the gospel, believe, and they're joyous. I mean, they're so excited at the beginning, but when there's testing time, when there's trials and tribulations, they tend to fall away. And Paul said to Timothy that in later times, the love of many will grow cold. Because, you know, trials and things that we go through. So these are the Christians, these are the rocks that they don't have deep roots to keep them firmly through the storm. And then there's those who hear, receive, and they're growing, but then they allow thorns to overwhelm the growth. Thorns like worries of life, the riches, the pursuit of riches and pleasure. And so these kinds of Christians, they never mature in Christ. And then there are those who hear, they believe what they hear, they retain it, they persevere in what they hear, and as a result, they will produce fruit in Christ. You see, when I read that parable, I was just like, thank you, Lord. I was so encouraged because I realized sometimes you might be preaching and you're just like, Lord, do I have to change the style? I mean, what is it that people are not listening to? And then you realize, like, well, if I go back to what Jesus says, sometimes it's not really the message or the messenger. Sometimes it's like how they're receiving it, how they perceive it. They're not ready to pay attention. You know, and coaches deal with that with players too. There's some that really like when I learn the game. And there's some that, oh yeah, I just want to have fun. Okay, have fun, but you're not going to learn the game. You're not going to grow into. And so teachers, I mean, you have those type of listeners at school. You can identify. It's like, yeah, that kid's just hard. They might not say hard-hearted, they say hard-headed. They don't listen, you know. And this one, I just want to do the, you know, every audience that we're proclaiming or giving a message, they might be in those four categories that we talked about. So I was encouraged to realize when we keep sowing the seed, we keep proclaiming the word, occasionally it's going to fall on somebody who's going to listen too. And then this is the fruit, and then realize, wow, that person listened. Now we baptize them, and not just that, they continue to persevere regardless of the difficulties, regardless of the circumstances and problems, they still in Christ. The seed was the same, the word of God, but it fell on four different soils. Let me ask you, how is your heart today? Is it still hard for some? Does it seem shallow or overwhelmed? I mean, when we look at that, we examine ourselves. We all probably started with hard, shallow, thorny, and now finally it's like the Lord came and cleaned it up, and now like we're producing fruit. We're producing a harvest for the Lord. How is your heart today? Examine your heart in terms of like how we're listening to the word of God. Just say, whoever has ear, Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And you know the interesting thing, my friends? I just got done sowing seed. I just got done scattering seed today. I just wondering what kind of hearts it's going to fall into. And then Jesus said, whoever has ear, let them hear. Would you pray with me this morning?